Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
And welcome, everybody, to an emergency edition of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Song. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. I am joined by Eric Weidecke. We will soon be joined by Chad Ronnebaum, a good friend of ours and a frequent show comer. So here is the situation, ladies and gentlemen. Why are we having an emergency show on a Friday night of all places? Well, it's because, what else could it be? Tua Tagovailoa has finally, and I do mean finally, signed his big contract. He is now the long-term franchise quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. 4 years, $212.4 million. Mind you, this is not a replacement. So this is technically, if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty, it's almost like it's a five-year deal if you include his fifth-year option. So At the very least, Tua Tagovailoa will be the Miami Dolphins quarterback at least through 2027. I'm sure that there are going to be some outs in the way that it is structured. We don't have the full details, as far as I'm aware, of how the whole thing is set to go just yet. But with that being said, it's time to take the pulse of Fins Nation and see how everybody's feeling. Gentlemen, how are we doing right now? I'm going to just let you guys talk.
Yeah, I get. So when I saw the numbers, I was actually, it was one of those things where I kind of looked at the contract not surprising one way or the other. It was kind of right around where I guess everybody had said, to the point where I was just like, what was the holdup here? Why didn't this get done sooner? It kind of made me wonder that, because you look at the average annual value on it and it's 53. Sure, that sounds pretty high on paper, but then you take a step back and you realize, in terms of percentage of cap taken up, two is going to be 11th. In terms of guaranteed money, two is going to be 8th. So ultimately this kind of works out as being a kind of a middle of the road deal. When you look at the total numbers on the deal, Burrow and Herbert still ended up getting more money from his draft class. Tua out-earns Hurts, which he probably should. And it's, you know, it's just a ho-hum 2024 quarterback deal to me, for a guy that you know is going to be top five in most passing categories again this year, if health permits. That's absolutely acceptable. It's just one of those things where I looked at the deal and I was like, huh, that's it. Why didn't this get done sooner? But better late than never. I'm happy they got it done. I'm happy we can finally be past this and talk about real football from here on out.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy about that as well. And by the way, because I forgot really quickly, this show is brought to you by prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 5, that's FIVE. They will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. Today's Flex Friday. Jump in and go ahead and try to win something today. All right. So now welcoming also Chad Ronnebaum to the show. And Chad, I'm going to get your thoughts in just a moment. Duke, let's hear from you, sir. What's going on here? Can you hear me, Duke?
I can, yes.
All right, your turn. Let's hear from you.
I agree with Eric. I'm glad it's over. We kind of put this behind us. It's a good contract for both the player and the team. Glad it's done. We can put it behind us. I'm sure there will be plenty of discussion about this on various places, but the one thing I did see was on the on some Dolphins Facebook page I follow. There were several of the players on Instagram that were congratulating him. I saw Chubb, Phillips, Robert Jones, and Austin Jackson. So they were all happy for him. I think Jalen Waddle got in there as well. So yeah, they're all happy to see it get done. I'm sure they're tired of the question. So. So, yeah, it's glad to be done. I think the numbers are going to work out. And like Eric said, it's going to age very well. If you look at the numbers, you know, with the increase in cap, the cap increased 14% last year. That may be a little much, but if you figure, I've looked at it before over the course of the last few years, it's grown somewhere on average like 10, 11% every year. So a cap hit, whatever his cap hits are going to be, and Spotrac doesn't have that up right now. Whatever the cap hits are going to be, they're going to be fairly manageable if the cap continues to increase. So good deal. Glad it's there. Now we can move forward. And the other part was he practiced in full today, whether that was due to the contract or not. He practiced in full and the offense looked a lot better. So.
Yeah, I don't see that as a coincidence at all. And it should be noted, even during before this whole signing the deal happened, players have been coming out for a while, not officially in camp talks, of course, because you're not allowed to do that. But Teron Armstead made it a point to say pay Tua. Jalen Ramsey made it a point to say pay Tua. You had Tyreek Hill. Obviously, he's like Tua's number one fan. And here's something really interesting about Tyreek. And I wish that Ron were here because this will be a perfect time to open up this can of worms again. Tyreek has made it a point to say, I don't want to leave Miami. He basically told his agent, I believe it's Drew Rosenhaus, correct? Is that Drew Rosenhaus said straight up, do not get me traded. So that tells me that they want, like, Tyreek might be willing to, I don't know, play ball on a contract extension if it means that he gets to stay in Miami. It doesn't seem like he wants to go anywhere else. So, Chad, I hope your microphone is up and running again. I am going to go ahead and let you have your chance to say something. Go ahead. Nope, nothing. Got nothing. It's not working. And now it is.
All right. Just had to reset it. I mean, obviously it's a great deal. This was good for both parties. I mean, it didn't sound, I'm not at the practices or anything, but it didn't sound like it was pretty for Mike White and Skylar Thompson in there. And Tua, of course, immediately sounded like he lit it up today, the moment he was full go. So nobody in the Dolphins organization wanted to have a, you know, long holdout or problem with Tua. And I don't think Tua, you know, after his injury history, wanted to go into this season and risk a, you know, a huge amount of money guaranteed to him. So it worked out for both of them. I thought where the contract falls is about where he ranks, you know, in the quarterback. So I thought it was a real fair deal, both sides. I heard this is rumor because it hasn't been released yet, but somebody prominent, one of the talking heads, I'm sorry, I can't pull it off the top of my head, but he said that the rumor was it was a 3-year deal with that's where the out's at, which is what Miami usually does. And so I have to think, just so everybody's clear that, you know, everybody sees the 4-year deal, this is an extension. So that goes on top of the coming year. So Tua is under contract now for the next 5 seasons with the Dolphins. And at $167 million, I think that per year average will actually come in below 50. That 50 is the number of the extension, but you have to factor in this year is 23 million. And so it'll be in the mid to upper 40s probably is what the average will be. And so my guess is around after three seasons, they could probably get out with maybe around 20 to 30 million of dead cap. That's probably about what that'll look like, which is a lot, but you can get out basically if let's say Tua after this year has a career-ending injury or gets put in prison, which wouldn't happen with Tua. I'm just pointing out, like, if he was gone for whatever reason, that's where you're out at. So, and they would probably do it as a post-June cut and lower that down to maybe 10 to 15. We'll see what the real deals are, contracts are. But really, with Tua getting that sort of a structure is ideal. I think it's a reasonable deal, and hopefully he can stay healthy. But that's the market for quarterbacks. And I think within 2 years, this is going to age really well, like after that. So I think Miami wanted to be the rumors out there. I know that Jordan Love is close. I don't know how true that is or not, but I think Miami wanted to beat the Jordan Love deal. I don't know what that's looking like, but you just never know, you know, when you're an organization, what another team is going to do. And if the Packers suddenly go crazy and offer Jordan Love $58 million a year, that impacts the negotiations for the Tua deal with the Dolphins. And so I think the Trevor Lawrence deal took them off guard, and that's what made this draw out a little bit more, because that did change the market dynamics a little bit when Trevor Lawrence got his extension. So overall, yeah, it's real good.
All right, and we actually have a little bonus here. So Eric Smith, Coach Eric Smith, is going to be joining us as well. This is his first, I think it's his first official foray into Pulse of Fins Nation. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good. We're happy, as Phil Robertson would say. But anyway, so interesting note, and CK just put this on OnlyFans. I'm not breaking any news or breaking any rules by saying this, because this is official news anyway. But by the way, if you are not on OnlyFans, only $3 a month, best $3 investment you could ever do. With that being said, apparently Ian Rappaport has just revealed, and I guess it's during a talk segment, because I looked through his Twitter and it's nothing there, but here, there is a video. There are incentives into his deal that are tied to playoff performance and wins, which could take it north of $55 million per year, which would then make it the highest average per year contract for a quarterback. So it looks like in many, even though he's getting all this guaranteed money, $167 million guarantee is nothing to sneeze at. He is doing kind of a little bit of an Odell Beckham thing, where he is betting on himself and saying, listen, I'm going to accomplish. You're going to end up paying me all this money. You know why? Because I'm about to rock and roll. So, Coach Eric, let's hear from you, sir. What's your initial reaction? I think you did a take five on the Tua deal as well. I'm not 100% sure. I think you did a take five of something. I think it might have been. I'm not sure who it was, but was it Tua?
Yeah, that was my, you know, my take five was it was yesterday on Chop Robinson.
Okay, yeah, I remember a take five. I couldn't remember what it was because everything's been happening so fast today. But anyway, so let's get your hair. Let's do it now. Take five. Coach Eric, Tua Tagovailoa's contract.
Yeah, so on the surface, I think this is a win for the team. I think that a lot of, you know, us fans had kind of come to terms with the idea that the overall average was going to be over 55, or at least that it could be, right? And we rationalized that by saying that, you know, 3-4 years from now, it's not going to look nearly as high as what it was. And these numbers come in, and it's, you know, it's not the 55 or above that a lot of us were expecting. So I think on the surface, it's a win for the team. I think, like others have said, we got to kind of wait for the details to come out, because I think that the way that guaranteed money is structured, it's the highest guaranteed money for a four-year contract in NFL history. So I think the way that that is structured can go a long way to determining how that contract looks over the next 3 or 4 years, you know, whether it's, you know, is it base salaries that are fully guaranteed, because those end up getting charged against that year's salary cap 100%, or are they roster bonuses like the Jaguars did with Trevor Lawrence, where he's getting that, you know, those roster bonus checks at the beginning of those seasons, but the cap portion of it is prorated over the next 5 years. So I'm definitely interested to see what those guaranteed dollars look like and how they're spread out in terms of, you know, cap allocations.
One thing I was going to mention too, Eric, just real quick, was I heard, I think it was Ian Rappaport that did say it, but I could be wrong, that they were reporting that they structured it with a 3-year out of some kind. And so I don't know what that'll look like, but that will impact that $167 million, how that falls out.
It's probably that, a lot. That's of another, another big part of that, and I don't think that we have heard anything as to whether or not there's any void years on the contract, so that could impact how those cap dollars are spread out as well.
Yep.
Well, I would imagine that they're going to – I'm sure that the intention for Miami, even if there is an out per se, I'm sure that at some point we're going to look at this contract and say, okay, well, Tua understands that he still has to prove himself in some way. That's I can't imagine – I don't imagine that there are any incentives in Jalen Hurts' deal. I don't know if there are any incentives in the deal that Jordan Love is about to sign. I don't know if there are any incentives – in on any of these other quarterback contracts. Have there been any news about, hey, you get more money if we end up getting playoff wins? I haven't heard any news about that. This is like the first thing that I've heard, that if a quarterback does well in the playoffs, then he gets more money. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I don't pay attention to other teams, obviously, as strongly as I do Miami, but this seems like, in some ways, Tua still acknowledging in a way that, yes, I still have to bet on myself to some extent. I can't just say that I've already earned everything that is due me. Personally, if I was Tua, I'll be dead honest with you, I would have waited to see what Jordan Love was going to get. I'll be honest about it. I would have waited. If I'm Tua, I know that I have accomplished more. In more time, I should say, than Jordan Love has. Jordan Love has played 8 games of good football. And he's played a few games of really not good football as well. So it's like the fact that Jordan Love is suddenly the next coming of Brett Favre / Aaron Rodgers kills me, because he's played 8 games. 8! He didn't even play a whole season worth.
And I think that they have a good idea of where that Love contract is, because they're both under the same representation. And even though the teams may not know exactly how those negotiations are going, Tua's camp and Love's camp, you know, I'm sure know exactly how the negotiations on the other side are going. To your point regarding other quarterbacks and the incentives, I just pulled up Justin Herbert's contract, and there is indeed annual incentives, $1.25 million a year for a conference championship win, and another $1.25 million for a Super Bowl win. So I don't know how common it is, but it's not unheard of.
Well, I can tell you that Justin Herbert's never going to see that money. That's number one.
It's probably a way to bridge for, because the agents are always trying to reset the market when you do an elite position player. So, you know, Tua's got that. Always had that offset, like, well, he hasn't stayed healthy very much, many seasons fully healthy. And so that's just a way to offset that risk to the Dolphins. Like, well, if you play healthy like last year for 3 or 4 seasons in a row, we'll gladly play a 55. So you match it with incentives to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been go ahead. No, you're good.
Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, okay. No, I mean, I was just going to say, I mean,
no, I was just going to say that in terms of.
I think there's a delay somewhere.
You're up. Yeah, it definitely seems that way. I will be quiet. Well, now Eric's on mute.
Delayed. That's why I'm laughing. Eric, you're on mute, just so you know.
So I'll try again. So. I think you're on purpose. We don't step on each other once again. What I was going to say was just that, you know, I had read that the contract was structured in a way that Tua is going to be up for another contract before he turns 30. So I think that Tua understands that as well. And that's why we weren't seeing like a 5 or a 7 year extension with Tua, because Tua knows that, you know, the team's not ready to just pay him way above what the top value is right now. And by agreeing to a 4-year contract, and that 3-year out for the team may also be a good thing for Tua as well, because that may be where the guaranteed money dries up and puts Tua in a position to push for a new contract. You see that, and I think it's like 2028 or 2029 of Trevor Lawrence's contract, where it puts it in a position for the contract to be renegotiated before the end of the contract, before Tua turns 30. So he has an opportunity to, over the next couple of years, show whether he is the quarterback that a lot of us think he can be, or, you know, the injury prone guy that, you know, so a lesser, you know, group of the fan base thinks that is what he's going to be overall.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I was just going to make a point about the incentives there. It's always kind of been my understanding that there are incentives in just about every contract in the NFL, at least to some extent, because you always hear about guys week 16, week 17, I need X amount of catches to hit my incentive. I would imagine, you know, it's the same for quarterbacks. You know, when you look at this deal, and one thing that I wanted to pose to you guys is, because I found it interesting with the timing of the Tua deal and the Love deal, I would assume the Tua deal coming first means that Love is getting more, right? Like, that's kind of what this signals to me.
I mean, Love's in the same exact situation, right? He's the same draft class, so he's on an option year coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, I it's not going to be less. I mean, how do you justify that if you're Green Bay, really? So it'll either be comparable or a little more, most likely. I would agree with that.
I think everybody has to have their flag, their planning in the, you know, on the hill. And in Tua's case, like I said, that 4-year guaranteed money is the most. So I could see a situation where, you know, Jordan Love gets a little higher, you know, also signs a 4-year contract. Maybe he is at $54 million, but doesn't have the same guarantees that Tua does. Right. I could see something like that.
I was going to mention, just on a side note, because Lewis had mentioned if I was Tua, I would just have waited for the Love contract. But, you know, I've never played beyond the high school level, but I can tell you it's tough to go to a practice and stand there and not play. I've never obviously did it from a contract negotiation, but just from an injury standpoint, it's really hard to stand there and watch people play. And I have to think yesterday was not easy for Tua. Watching all his teammates out there running around, working on plays. He wanted to be out playing football. So I think that factors into it, you know, to a degree. And also, you know, you have the big man in Miami, Stephen Ross can say, just do it. Let's just get this done. Pay him. And Green Bay is a management structure. There is no billion-dollar owner in Green Bay. And so they have to decide that with their general manager and however that board works with Green Bay. So that might be a little more complicating if you're trying to go higher or, you know, make a snap decision on getting a deal done.
Did you guys see Omar Kelly's tweet? Came out about 40 minutes ago. I'll read it to you. It says, and for the record, just in case you haven't read any of the stories written by everyone, Tua didn't have a deal done and they weren't close before he decided to practice without limitations today.
So I find that hard to believe.
I don't know if I agree with that. I thought it was interesting.
You can't be that far away if you're like 3 hours away from getting a deal done.
No, I guarantee you. Come on. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, by the way, let's just throw this magic deal out and do it. All right, sounds good. I mean, this was worked on for even Tua did. I'm sure you guys watched it. He did his own press release basically and announced it. And he even, you know, gave praise to both sides on the tremendous hours and hours of work they put in to get it done. And so, I don't think that was a coincidence. I mean, I tweeted, this is speculative, obviously, that when he showed up and started practicing, I'm like, oh, that means two things. Either they've made big progress and they're close, or they've just decided to play the option here. Because otherwise, why in the world would he suddenly just go back to practicing a day later? And it fortunately was the contract.
Yeah, and the first play of 11 on 11s was a 70-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill. So
yeah,
that was big-time stuff. So, I think it was just interesting, all the stuff that was coming in. And it'll be interesting to see what Jordan Love's contract is going to be. And we mentioned this Tuesday night on the show about, you know, where Tua wanted to take a stand. Did he want the highest AAV or did he want the most guaranteed money? And it looked like he went for the guaranteed money, which, you know, I don't know that what's important, more important, and I don't know what's better or best, but that's what it looks like he went for. So for his part, I'm glad he got what he was looking for. So, and again, I'm glad the nonsense is over. So all the speculation can be, you know, and of course there's going to be the bunch that are like, well, Tua shouldn't have got that contract. He's not worth it. Blah, blah, blah. It was going to be that way regardless. So, you know, at least there's no more speculation. Well, is Tua's really not their guy? Because if he was, they would have signed him by now. So that can end. We can get to practice. I'm still waiting for the video. I know Hussam tweeted that out earlier today about the pass, and it was going to, when the video drops, it's going to be great. And I have yet to see it from Dolphins Media. So they're getting behind on the job here.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. I heard that it was 51, 52 air yards. So that definitely sounds like one that they'll be putting out.
Hopefully they caught it and weren't, you know, watching something else. So
no, there's no way they didn't catch it. All right. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm back. Been trying my best to listen to everything. That's the because work is never done, even when you're done with work. So now here's what I want to discuss next. So obviously, Tua getting his contract signed, very important milestone for the team at this point. So one of the players, obviously, who was extremely happy to see Tua actually get paid was one aforementioned Tyreek Hill. So now the next question that I have for you guys here, because Tyreek has made it a point to say, hey, I would like to stick around a little longer too, if possible. So at this point in his career, he's turned 30. For what it's worth, he's still toasting people. So it's not like he's lost a step. But would you go ahead and throw a little extra cash Tyreek's way and see if we can get him extended? Because these two seem to work really, really well together. So I'll start with you, Duke. I saw you nod your head, so I'm going to let you talk first.
So I don't know that I would offer necessarily an extension, because I think he's just in the second year of the 4-year deal. So that or first year. So I think he's still got
some time. He's been here 3 years.
This I know, but, year three. But I think I don't know when the extension started. It was not, he was still playing on his original KC contract, I think. Either way, this is the last year that there's no guaranteed money. So the Dolphins have some avenues to where they can move money around and give him guaranteed money so that he actually gets funds in his pocket over the next couple of seasons without actually having to add any new funds to the contract. That being said, I do believe he's worth an extension. I believe the way he plays the position, he's not going to be that fast forever. But right now, he's still changing the way people play defenses. And I think the way he plays will age gracefully. I don't think it will be a situation where he just falls off the map entirely. So I think that you move a little around now to give him cash in his pocket. You move a little around so that he's guaranteed some funds next year. And then after next year, you work on doing an extension and keep him here. And I think you should, unless he does something crazy off the field. And we know there's there's usually something he pops up in the news some way or another in the off season.
Yeah, but all of these things seem to be old. Except the only thing that's new per se is that one incident at the pier. That's the only thing I can think of that's fresh.
As long as he's not doing something, you know, just illegal or just, you know, completely off the wall. Keep him around. He wants to be here. He's a good leader in the locker room from everything that we've read. A lot of people are like, well, he got paid. He's just coming to Miami to take a vacation. And he's completely, in my opinion, outproduced kind of what we've expected from him. So his last two seasons were the highest in his career in terms of yardage. I think he had, I don't know if 13 touchdowns last year was the most in his career or is tied for most. It's somewhere up there. So he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I say keep that guy around. Keep the team together. You know, him and Waddle. I know Waddle just got paid. And eventually Waddle will move into the number one receiver spot and Tyreek Hill will probably move down to number two or whatever. But keep them both. Keep this thing going as long as you can.
Just to answer your previous question, Duke, it was actually his second most touchdowns in a year. He actually had more in 2020 with Kansas City.
Okay.
He had 15 that year.
I knew there was one year where he had double digits, additional double digit touchdowns. But still, I mean, 13 touchdowns, nearly 1,800 yards in 16 games. I mean, that's a phenomenal 16-game season back in the old days. So, and I know he's come out this week and said he's not going to, you know, shooting for 2,000 is going to be selfish. But I hope he gets it, to be honest.
Think about it, though. Like, so, okay, it's selfish.
he doesn't control where the ball goes. If Tua throws him the ball, he throws him the ball, you know? So I'm not really how much control he had on that.
But if you think, well, he wants this, this is a goal of his, and the team's going to call up plays to get him the ball more so than maybe they need to. I mean, I like to see him get it. I'm also in the thought process that, you know, you probably need to, I don't want to say load manage him, but at least put him in a position to where he's not on the field as much, particularly in some of these games that aren't necessarily important. And what I mean by important is if you've got a big lead, let's go ahead and get him out of the game. You know, you've seen him in some of these other games where he's playing late. Mostert was playing late. You've got a deep enough team now. I know Alf tweeted out today that River Craycraft was the player of the day. So maybe he sticks around. You got some of these other guys. Just load manage him. He doesn't need, you know, 35 targets a game or whatever it was he was getting. You know, just let some of the other guys take the load off of him. And if he gets 2,000, it's great. If not, let him, keep it going. You just don't want to wear him down. I think that's part of the problem last year was just everyone was worn down by the end of the year. So,
all right, Chad, your thoughts on Tyreek? Like, is it his turn, or are you going to go ahead and skip him?
I probably wouldn't do much with Tyreek, mainly because of his age, and he's under contract. I could see maybe you shift a little bit money off his contract to guarantee a little bit more. They'll probably do something along those lines just to throw him a little bit of a bone. You know, maybe they guarantee an extra $5-10 million or something like that into next year. But they've already made their move, and Waddle's their future number one. That's the contract they gave Jalen Waddle. You don't pay Waddle that contract unless you view him as your number one receiver post Tyreek Hill. So I don't expect him to do much. And you still got to, you know, now that this Tua deal's done, we'll have to see the structure of this contract, but it very likely will free up some money actually in this coming season. And, you know, Jabril Preppers just got done with the Patriots. And so there's still time to maybe try to get Javon Holland's contract done. And so I think that becomes the priority right now is Holland's contract, because that's a difficult one, because you see the contracts like Peppers and Winfield are getting, and then you're getting guys like Jordan Poyer for, you know, practically the vet minimum. And so where do you pay Javon Holland? He is. I'm just pointing out that's a really difficult position right now to get the read on the market. But to me, that's the priority right now, is getting Javon Holland under a contract, maybe before the season starts, because he'll be a free agent next year. After the season, because he was a second round draft pick, so he doesn't have an option year on his contract. So I think that'll outweigh Tyreek, but they'll figure out something with Tyreek. And Duke touched on it lightly. You do have to be a little nervous at times about Tyreek Hill off the field. Has he been getting in legal trouble per se? No. I mean, this offseason, he's in a lawsuit over breaking some lady's leg, whether it was his fault or not.
But that's also old news, though.
Well, I'm just saying that
dredged back up.
Well, I'm just saying he's in the news for that. And you know, I don't know what to expect out of it. You know, last year he was married for 2 weeks, then getting divorced, then married. And now he's having a kid. And so he's all over the place in the off season. But you just hope he doesn't get in any kind of trouble that would get him suspended if you're going to guarantee him money. That's what I'm meaning. But so that's kind of where I fall. Not that he hasn't been anything but sensational. I just I don't think Miami's going to throw money at him if they don't need to right now, after they already gave the bag to Waddle.
All right, Eric, are you there? Are you you got any thoughts on what Tyreek is next up?
Yeah, so I tend to agree with Chad here, especially since it seems like Tyreek is going to play the good soldier about this. I don't think Tyreek is going to really put their feet to the fire on getting that new deal done. And I think that there might be kind of, you know, maybe a little bit of a handshake agreement going on between Chris Greer and Tyreek Hill's reps in Drew Rosenhaus, considering the relationship that the two parties have with each other. Obviously, Rosenhaus is very familiar with the Dolphins front office. I think we're probably looking at a situation where, you know, there might be a handshake agreement here. Hey, we're going to take care of you eventually when we're able to. but we just can't do it right now. We have some other things we need to focus on in the current moment. And I think, like I said, it seems like right now Tyreek Hill is going to be okay with that. He's given every indication he's going to be a good teammate through all this. You know, he's not banging anybody's door down, begging for that money to this point. So I don't think it's not going to be an issue.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
As long as he doesn't make it an issue, and I don't think he's going to do that, so I do think that the Dolphins are going to maybe pursue, you know, some other extensions first, see what else they can do, kind of with the flexibility they do have. And then eventually circle on back to Tyreek Hill and get him the money that he has rightfully earned, and hopefully if he doesn't get into any trouble off the field, he'll continue to earn for the Dolphins.
Well, yeah, like I said previously, Tyreek, literally, for lack of a better term, like he said it as a joke, but it was just a couple of days ago where Tyreek told Drew Rosenhaus, like, "Do not get me traded." So it's obvious that he wants to stay in Miami. I don't think he really wants to be anywhere else at this point, whether it's because he just loves the Miami lifestyle, which in and of itself causes its own troubles. But either way, I am in the camp, me personally, that as long as Tyreek continues to be Tyreek Hill, and it doesn't look like, even though he's hit 30, it doesn't look like that has changed at all. Based on everything that we're hearing in training camp, Tyreek is still roasting people on a regular basis. He hasn't lost a step, not even one, as of yet. And to be quite honest, as long as he still is the fastest guy on the field, I'm going to keep throwing money at him until he suddenly starts to slow down. And even then, because this is the thing about it, that so many people just kind of, we're almost glossing over it a little bit because it's so obvious in some ways. Again, Tyreek is so fast, and I'm going to bring Eric. Sorry, Brent. Tyreek is so fast, like his twitchiness, his agility, his evasiveness. It's so far above everybody else in the league as far as what the standard is, that even if he does lose a step, all that does is bring him back down to earth with the rest of the wide receivers in the league. You know, at the very worst, he's a straight line, instant deep threat to anybody who you have to be concerned about. So even when he hits 31, 32, I don't know, maybe he starts slowing down at 33. But even then, that's still another 3 years of Tyreek Hill that Tua can count on him. So if I'm Miami, as long as I see that Tyreek hasn't lost a step, and obviously nobody knows more than the coaches when it comes to that, I don't mind keeping him around, because at least then if you give him extensions, you move his money around, you can play with the cap hit, and that makes it so that other talent is able to stick around a little bit longer while still getting to keep your top wide receiver. I understand what you're saying, Chad. I do. I get it, that eventually Jalen Waddle is supposed to be the guy. But at the same time, wouldn't you not rather have two of the guys?
Next year or two. They have him under contract. So how good is Tyreek Hill going to be? 31, 32, is he still going to be the same guy? Then if he is, then maybe you think about that. But like I said, there's only so much money you're going to want to commit positionally. And they gave Waddle a sizable deal. And so how long they keep both those guys paid where they're at, it's going to be hard to say. I mean, football, the seasons are long in the NFL, and it's a rough sport. So Tyreek Hill's got to come through this season healthy and probably, you know, have another 1,800 yard type year. You know, then maybe they'll be in the range where, all right, we'll guarantee you some more money this coming off season. That's probably when that would happen. So he has to perform and come through this year healthy. Then, it'd be possible then.
All right, Eric, Coach Eric, I'll give you your thoughts. Like, so we obviously got Tua done, thank goodness. How about the Tyreek situation? Do we give him next, or what's your stance on Tyreek?
So my stance on Tyreek was that going into this offseason, I expected them to restructure his contract, and I kind of predicted that after the 2025 season would be the last one that Tyreek was with the Dolphins. I thought that a standard restructure would put them in the ballpark where they could move on from him after the 2025 season. As we went through the offseason, we've seen that they've restructured a bunch of contracts and that Tyreek Hill's contract is not one of those. And I believe that looking at his contract, that the Dolphins could get out of his contract as a post-June 1st cut after 2024 and have a positive savings of the cap going forward. So I don't know if the idea that Tyreek haven't reached it, or whether they are weighing the possibility of moving on from him after 2024. But if they don't get an extension done here during the preseason, then I think that leans towards them looking at moving on from him.
Excuse me, I was muted. we're going to go ahead and get into some of the comments that are coming in. I was expecting like an absolutely exploding chat because I figured, hey, to a signing, I figured that was a big deal. So let's go ahead. The first one, of course, is our good friend Cap for Life. Gentlemen, it's a fair deal. Finally, it's over. Football is back. Yeah, we talked about that. It's a little bit relieving to know that we can actually talk about some real football now instead of having to go back and forth of when is Tua going to sign his contract? Is Tua going to sign his contract? No, it's done. And quite honestly, yeah, like the way Cap put it, I don't know if he's being sarcastic or he's being for real. But to me, it's a fair contract because Tua has not been given the highest contract in NFL history by any stretch of the imagination. He's certainly the highest paid Dolphin to ever play, but that's a different discussion.
And I think that's kind of why the chat isn't as popping as maybe expected off of, you know, big news as this is. I don't know. I kind of looked at it and I was like, huh, that's kind of anticlimactic because it just comes in. I think everybody was so like tense and everybody embraced themselves for this earth shattering quarterback market resetting deal. That when it came in at 4 years, 212, I think everybody was just like, yeah, all right, well, it's time to move on. We're past this. We've exhausted the topic. because I mean, it's been the thing that people have been talking about literally all offseason long at this point. And for that, and to get it in at that number was just like, all right, you know what, this is fine. It is, you know, in some ways kind of an anticlimactic ending to all of this, which is a good thing. I would say I don't want it to be. I certainly did not want it to end with Tua making $60 million a year plus, and the Dolphins having to deal with the consequences of that. Nor did I want it to go on forever in perpetuate into eternity. So I think that, you know, like I think that's kind of the general feeling, is there's more of that kind of deep breath relieved feel on all this.
So here's what I want to know, and this is something that's got me curious now. The fact that we got the contract that we did, mind you, again, for the team at least, Trevor Lawrence is better for the Jaguars than Tua's is for Miami. With that being said, it is fairly reasonable given the salaries that quarterbacks are making in today's day and age. What was it that the Dolphins were offering at first that they were so far apart on the deal? Like,
I have a pretty good, I can mention this on a prior podcast, but I Miami wants a 3-year out. And so I was going off a $50 million a year number. And so keep in mind, you always extend. That's even on the Trevor Lawrence deal, that was an extension off 2 years. So he had his rookie year and his option year, then the new contract's kicking in for Trevor Lawrence. So his per year average isn't near as what they're reporting it. That's just the extension year's average. But I thought, okay, so Tua is looking at about $23 million this coming year, and they want to add 2 years on. Let's put them at 50. So I thought Miami probably came out of the gates at around 125 of guaranteed money over 3 years. And I'm sure Tua was like saying, no, I want that fourth year, or I want 4 years contract. So Tua was probably wanting around, my thought was around 185. I thought that's where they were at. You know, that's a good $50, $60 million a year gap. And I still kind of feel like that's about where the starting points were. And they fell in at this 167, which is both sides kind of to give in a little bit.
So we got more comments coming in. Now it's now the comments are actually, now that they're coming, we have some mixed feelings about everything. Luis Alfuentes says the only quarterback without a playoff win and earns $53 million. They will regret this one big time. Championship roster, my ass. So this is one of those folks who are not a fan of the Tua thing because there's a lack of overall results in Tua's tenure. Again, this boils down to the same discussion that we have had over the course of the past several shows, the past couple of seasons worth of shows, really, is how do you define success? Because here you have Jordan Love, because I look at it from a whole body of work, and I don't know, maybe you guys have similar feelings than me, or I feel like you guys do, but I'm going to let you guys speak for yourselves, because in my case, I'm looking at Tua and what he's done. Has Tua won a playoff game? No, he has not. He's only had two opportunities to do so. And yes, okay, fine. He didn't. Well, actually, I take it back. He's only had one opportunity because the year before that, he was injured and it was Skylar Thompson in the wild card. So that's moot. So Tua didn't do well against the freezing cold Kansas City winds. So, okay, big hairy deal. Nobody did well in that game. Did you watch Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes was not Patrick Mahomes in that game. He was a frozen popsicle too. So that's a different discussion. But in any case, now you have Jordan Love, who literally has only 8 games of good football to his name, and more than likely, he's going to make more than Tua is. All because he won a playoff game against the Cowboys? Is that the only feather in Jordan Love's cap that he can hang on, and that's why we're going to say that Jordan Love deserves more money than Tua? See, that's the problem that I have with this whole thing, because I understand that the ultimate goal is to win in the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, win that championship, and go ahead and move on from there. But Jordan Love, yes, he got further than Tua did, but he only played half the season really well. And the other half of the season, he looked like trash. So why does that get to decide that just because Love won a playoff game but sucked half the year, why does he get more money than Tua, who was an MVP candidate for most of the season and then kind of fell off near the end when it started to get too cold? So that's where my stance on it. I feel like Tua is more deserving than Love. I don't think Love should be getting as much as Tua does. I'll be surprised if he doesn't, because that's just how these things go. But my definition of success, Tua has been more successful than Love, in spite of the fact that Love has won a playoff game and Tua has not. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I mean, I've responded to this so many times with people, but people love to compare Tua, to throw out the names like, well, what about Josh Allen? What about Patrick Mahomes? What about Lamar Jackson? And the reality is none of those guys are attainable. You can't get those guys. They're on other teams. And the only route really that you have with Tua is to go draft another quarterback in the first round. And those hit on about a 20% clip. I mean, you're 80% likely to fail if you draft a first round quarterback. I mean, you're much more likely to get a Zach Wilson, a Mac Jones, those sorts of things, than you are to get a CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud's extremely rare to draft a guy that's that good out of the gate. And so if you even go draft a rookie that ends up being a decent quarterback, it typically takes a few seasons to even get him to where you need to be successful. And so Miami doesn't really have a lot of other options in Tua, I mean, that make more sense. I mean, are you going to go get somebody like Kirk Cousins? Well, now you're still spending all that money, but now you're just spending it on a guy that's, you know, 34 or whatever he is, versus, you know, 25. And so to me, it just makes sense for the Dolphins long term. You know, he gives them the best chance to win. And to me, it's not about is he a top five or is he a top 10 quarterback. He's the absolute best option the Dolphins have right now to have a chance to win in games. And yeah, Tua
the
has
offense
it
is catered to him, Chad. Like, it's literally built for Tua. No one else.
I mean, he just led the league in passing. I mean, that's not easy to do. I don't care who you are. And even the names that people throw out there, if you're talking about Joe Burrow, or if you're talking about Justin Herbert or Josh Allen, you know what? Those guys haven't been able to beat Patrick Mahomes either. I mean, he's probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time already right in front of us. Mahomes is exceptional. And everybody else is just trying to beat them. And, you know, those other teams haven't won the Super Bowl either. So, you know, that's just the league that we're in. So I usually don't get caught up on, well, he has won playoff games. Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize Dan Marino won one road playoff game his entire career. And that was like his 18th season. It's hard to win in the playoffs. And so, you know, Miami last year, they were one quarter, even a half a quarter of football away. If Miami had beaten Tennessee, I think we would have played Pittsburgh in Miami and we would have probably won that game. And this is a whole different discussion, because then Miami has a playoff win. Would he have beat Baltimore? Probably not. Would we beat Kansas City? Probably not. But we probably would have beat Pittsburgh at home. And then we have the playoff win. And so that's where I look at it from. I don't look at it from, is Tua better than Burrow or Herbert or whoever else you throw out there for quarterbacks? I just look at, is Tua better than the options we're going to have this season and next season? And I mean, if you're even paying attention to training camp, he's a lot better than what we have for other options right now. So that's just the reality.
Yeah. And the only other realistic option that you could, in my opinion, that could be considered an upgrade would be Dak Prescott. And you're talking about 16.
Dak's not an upgrade.
Well, now. I'm just saying, you know, of options that you're going to have. I mean, I don't know about the draft class. I hadn't gotten to that point yet. But if you're looking at guys in the league, you can say, well, you could get Dak Prescott, and he's not a bad quarterback. So if you consider that an upgrade, that's fine. But you're paying 60-plus million, right? So a year. You're going to pay a much bigger contract for that. And, again, I don't know that I consider it an upgrade. So some would. But, yeah, Chad's absolutely right. It's about who's available. And, you know, that guy out there in Los Angeles hasn't won a playoff game either. So, and Trevor Lawrence, the other guy that got paid this year, his one playoff win came against that guy, and he threw four interceptions that game, right? So it's not like these guys are just out here killing it. And to Chad's point about Marino and the road playoff game, Tua has exactly the same amount of road playoff wins as Josh Allen. So, you know, if they don't completely lose their minds against the abysmal Tennessee Titans, yeah, they get a home playoff game. They're beating Mason Rudolph and that Pittsburgh team. They got the playoff win, and who knows? Maybe that sparks something. Maybe something happens in one of those other games that, you know, something happens and Miami gets an advantage and they get another home game, or they can go into one of those other stadiums and win. So You never know what's going to happen there. So it's just, you know, you've got to put it together. And I think they're going to be off to a good start. I know we covered this on another show a while back, and we did our prediction show. But you do realize we got Kevin Harlan the two of the first three games, right? So that's automatically two wins. Yeah, and if they can beat Buffalo on Thursday night, and like Alf said, he said they're set up. That's a game set up for Miami to win. They don't have another team that I don't think they can, that they should lose to until they play Buffalo again. They could be 7-0 going into that game. If you beat Buffalo again, you're looking at the game against Jordan Love on Thanksgiving before you have a team that you're like, well, this team's clearly a situation for Miami to lose the game. So I know we talked about it. This is a team that should be in the running for not just a home playoff game, but for the number one overall seed. And, you know, as sad as it would be to not watch the Dolphins on the opening weekend, I would take it if that means they got a bye week. So, I think they are set up to be a good team. And I'm not worried about the playoff win. It was, you know, do I think they could have won had the game not been, you know, 1,000 degrees below zero? Sure. They would have had a better chance.
Coach Eric, do you concur, or do you feel slightly differently about what the definition of success is and what makes you worth a contract?
No, I agree with everything that's been said. You know, when you look at the opportunities that have been available, right? Tua's only played in one playoff game because he didn't play in that one this past season, the one before when Skylar Thompson was starting against the Bills for us. So he's only had one opportunity. And as was said before, if it wasn't the Chiefs in record-breaking cold, then there's a pretty good chance that Miami does win a wild card game, and that Tua has a playoff win. Just like I think CJ Stroud's playoff win was, did he play the Steelers?
The Browns.
Okay.
I think Buffalo played Pittsburgh.
Okay. Yeah. But even still, the Browns, right? And that's the Browns with Joe Flacco at quarterback, right? So that, I mean, yes, he has a playoff win. Congratulations, right? But had the Dolphins been in a position to play the Browns or to play the Steelers, there's a high likelihood that the Dolphins have a playoff win. And this conversation is completely moot. It doesn't exist. And I think the team understands that. I think in the negotiations for contracts, I think that the team understands the situation that was there. I'm sure they would love to see Tua, you know, lead a team to a playoff win. But having one opportunity in record-breaking cold, you know, I don't think they're necessarily holding that against him the same way that a good portion of the fan base is. I think that, you know, there's also the point made of this offense being built for Tua. Well, that's the same thing across the league, right? We've looked at all these other quarterbacks, and, you know, the Bengals didn't go and franchise tag T. Higgins because, you know, they feel like Burrow can just win with anybody, right? They're trying to give him the weapons to win. You look at what you know, even the Ravens are always trying to find different weapons for Lamar Jackson. We're going to see this season whether Josh Allen can continue to succeed without Stephon Diggs. Like, I know there's been several games where I felt like, you know, Josh Allen's just throwing up to Stephon Diggs in a key situation, and Diggs is making a play over one of our third or fourth string quarterbacks. Well, that option is not there anymore. So is Josh Allen going to continue to raise the level of play of the guys around him? So I think that, you know, outside of Patrick Mahomes and, you know, maybe one or two other guys in the league, every team is trying to cater their offense to what their quarterbacks do well. And for whatever reason, you know, some Dolphins fans seem to take that against Tua. Like, Tua is great at throwing guys open, leading guys into space. So that's how we give Tua a Tyreek Hill, a Jalen Waddle, a Devon Achane, right? If we can throw those guys into space, they make one guy miss, and we've got a huge play. So why wouldn't you go find those guys, give him those weapons, and design an offense that works with his strengths? Like, I just don't get why some of that stuff is considered a negative. So I think that when you're, you know, asking whether or not he is in the same tier as some of those other quarterbacks that are getting the big contracts, absolutely.
Eric Weidecke.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot that can be said that hasn't already been said, but I'm just going to keep it short, sweet, and to the point here. You know, long story short, I agree. The circumstances that you had on the road in Kansas City, number one, you know, outside of Joe Burrow beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead, you're not beating that team in Arrowhead. I don't care what the temperature is. The Dolphins lost that playoff game well before the temperatures were 30 below zero. The Dolphins lost that playoff game when they lost Monday night against the Titans. And I'm not going to hold that against Tua, because there's maybe one, maybe two quarterbacks in the league that can go to Arrowhead and beat Patrick Mahomes when the weather's good. The second thing is, when you're looking at a guy that, you know, the question is he a top five quarterback? The answer is probably not. But on any given week, can he be a top five quarterback? And the answer to that question is absolutely. And if you string a few of those weeks together in January into February, at that point, anything can happen. You let the chips fall where they may. And that is all you can ask for out of a franchise quarterback. Because he gets hot and you could win a Super Bowl with Tua. It's just as simple as that. When he's playing his A game, he is at least statistically as good as any other quarterback in the league. The question is, are you going to get his A game when you need it the most? To be determined. We do have, you know, I hate to bring up a loss here, but I think back to, I think it was Christmas Eve against Buffalo a couple of years ago in the weather. He played a great game in that game, considering the circumstances. So I'm not super worried about Tua in important games or anything like that. You know, if he can rise to that level on any given Sunday, or, you know, so I'm not, like I said, I'm not worried about it. I think he can hit that level. There's only maybe two or three quarterbacks in the league that are beating Mahomes last year in the playoffs. So I'm not going to hold that against him.
Yeah, and this is where it kind of boils down to it. So there are more, Wesso's Lounge commented, 28th offensive line, and he was number one in passing, then 0-1 in -7 degrees cold. So, I mean, pretty much, yeah. Questions coming from Parrish Stevens. When can we expect them to sign Javon Holland? We talked about Javon Holland briefly. Chad brought him up not too long ago. But I'm going to go ahead and just going to talk about this here. As far as I'm concerned with Javon Holland, I'm being dead honest here. I was asked multiple times, who would I rather give up if I had to choose between giving up Jalen Phillips, Javon Holland, Jalen Waddle? Obviously, Waddle already got his contract. Who would I rather give up between Jalen Phillips and Javon Holland? I understand how good Javon Holland can be. I understand how special he is as a safety. But all day, every day, and twice on Sundays, if I have to choose between Jalen Phillips and Javon Holland, hasta la bye-bye Javon Holland. Seriously. Miami finds safeties falling out of coconut trees. So I've reached a point where it's like, if I have much more faith in Miami to find a good safety than I do in them to find good pass rushers. Jalen Phillips is a phenomenal pass rusher. Jalen Phillips can do many different things. And so as versatile as Javon Holland is, Miami will find another Javon Holland. My God, some people have been saying, why hasn't Justin Simmons signed yet? Because nobody needs one. They're already loaded up with safeties. And nobody's looking at Justin Simmons and saying, you know what, you're the missing piece to our defense. Because they already have enough safeties. Everything's covered. So look at even the 3 yards per carry guys, they've been looking around. We went and signed Marcus May. But the guy that they were clamoring for the whole time, and I was kind of on that same boat with them, I agreed with them, they were looking for Quandre Diggs. He still doesn't have a contract. Why? Because nobody needs a safety right now, especially not one who's higher priced, one who's getting, I don't know, I don't want to say long in the tooth. It's not like these guys are ancient, but these guys, nobody needs a safety because they're good. They're like, no, we're okay. You just sit tight and maybe we'll come and call you if somebody gets hurt. But as far as pass rushers go, those are harder to find. So if I'm Miami and I have to choose between paying Jalen Phillips and paying Javon Holland, it's not even a question for me. I'm paying Jalen Phillips, and Javon Holland can go find work elsewhere.
I would keep Javon Holland, and I think this defense is going to be secondary centric. So I think that he's going to become more of a force this year than he has been in the past. But that said, I mean, if Jalen Phillips comes back from his injury and he's as good as he was on pace to be, he was going to be a double digit sack guy last year. He was probably going to get 15, 16 sacks.
Duke, he was going to be the second coming of Jason Taylor. He was going to be what Deion Jordan was supposed to be.
Well, I mean, I think you can keep them both. I think you can work that around. The thing I like about Javon Holland was he did play corner in college, so he does give you some coverage ability, and he's pretty universal. And if you look at what Baltimore's defense did, they have a lot of pieces in the secondary that they like to move around and do things with, and Javon Holland could be a part of that. However, it's going to be an interesting to see what they do with Jalen Ramsey as well, because I think his contract's coming up. If not this year, it'll be next year. So do they keep him around and move him to safety as he ages? So I would like to say that they could keep both of those guys. But, you know, we'll see.
But but here's my thing, Duke. I have to put you on the spot now. Say you can't keep them both. Who are you keeping? They're both in their prime. Who are you keeping?
Well, just some positional value, you keep the pass rusher.
Okay, but I didn't ask about positional value, sir. I said, who would you
but keep? looking at the situation, what if Phillips is not 100%? What if he never gets to 100% again? What if he's not the pass rusher that we expect him to become? You just drafted two guys. So I don't know. It just kind of depends. It's a unique situation. If Jalen Phillips plays all 17 games last year, it would be 100% him just because, again, positional value. But I think Holland offers a little something more. And safeties do get paid. If you're young and you're really talented, which he is, then look at Xavier McKinney. Antoine Winfield's a different thing, so we'll leave him out of this discussion. But Xavier McKinney got paid, I think it was, by Green Bay. So, you know, Javon Holland, he was voted number 5 on that list from ESPN by GMs and coaches and scouts and all that. So a lot of people like him. He's going to get paid on the open market. It's going to take somewhere between 14 and 18 million a year to keep him. I don't know if that's too much for some to stomach. I don't know. I think it's a pretty good deal, especially considering you've got some young guys on rookie deals at corners. So if you can, I think you sign Javon Holland and then you draft into the corner.
All right. Before we go, Chad, what are you thinking on? I'm putting you on the spot, man. Like Duke put a little disclaimer on there. It's like, well, maybe Jalen Phillips isn't back to normal. I'm going to say both these guys are at full strength. Who are you keeping, Phillips or Holland?
Oh, I mean, you're putting a caveat of Phillips at full strength, because my answer would be Holland in a heartbeat, just because I don't like Achilles injuries, and I'm very like, I have to see Phillips perform at what he was. And, you know, they've already picked up two young defensive ends, and we still have Bradley Chubb. And so I'm probably just going to just plan on putting the option year on Phillips after this season. And so I've got him under contract for 2 more years, and Holland's coming under contract after this season. So I'm assuming Miami's going to do this. I'm going to give Javon Holland a top 10 range safety contract, but I'm not going to give him a top 5 contract, even if he is top 5, because I'm giving him that contract now so he can get guaranteed money without playing this season, because he was hurt last season. So yeah, that's always, you know, in there. Now, going into next year, Miami's going to, in theory, if Wilkins and Hunt play for the whole season, are going to get extra comp picks next year, and we have a first round pick next year. So Miami may comfortably just say, well, let's draft a new safety and let Holland go. You have that option. And now with Tua signed, you have the tag. So you could tag Javon Holland next year. So with the number of draft picks, and as you pointed out, Lewis, Miami just has a track record of being able to acquire safeties in the draft. I think they're not going to give Javon Holland like a top five offer right now. They're going to give him a sub offer, and Javon Holland has to decide, do I want to, you know, put $40 million in my pocket guaranteed, or I just want to risk it and go play this year. That'll be up to him. And that's what Miami will do with that. So, I mean, to answer your questions, if Jalen Phillips is what he was last year, then it's Phillips in a heartbeat. He's a lot more, he's a fast, big defensive end, and they're hard to get humans like that that are that talented. So you'd keep Phillips every time, but we don't know yet what he is.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and call it here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much for joining us for this emergency episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. We will be back to our regularly scheduled programming coming Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. For those of you, just real quick, because Luis Fuentes said, remember my prognosis, our record will be 8-9. I'm rarely wrong. Well, all I can say to you, sir, is I hope you're wrong. Number two, if you really are almost never wrong, you should definitely go to prizepicks.com. Use that promo code 5. That's FIVE. They'll match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up, and you can go take your never wrongness and go win a lot of money. How about that?
You're a legend, Lewis.
I gotta have that segue, man. It was too easy. All right, and yes, this will be. I don't know if it's going to show up on the 3 yards per carry podcast feed. I will talk to Alf about that. But if it is not, you can always come back here. This is archived on the 5 Reasons Sports Network YouTube channel. We are live every Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. We're going to be taking the pulse of Fins Nation every week. So once again, thank you all so much for joining us. We will see you next week for more episodes of Pulse of Fins Nation. Good night.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.